wasn't born for digging deep holes. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. I'm not the type to work in a bank. I'm no good.
Pretty good at drinking beer is what they're going to put on my tombstone, which apparently is Creed Humphrey's favorite movie of all time.
Tombstone is.
Yeah, that's what the promo says, or the drop that we have, or the liner, you would call it. Mac, what's your favorite movie of all time? Because I have my three always ready to go, and I get to ask this question.
Shawshank is definitely up there.
Yep.
Godfather's up there.
One or two?
Oof, good question. Can I say both?
Yep.
And then I'll take all the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Bob, number one movie of all
time? Shawshank, yeah. Shawshank Redemption's up there. Major League, love that movie still. You know, still so much fun to watch that movie.
Sorry, I didn't catch your name. What is it? Rebecca Dorn.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. That is a good movie.
I mean, every character that Charlie Sheen plays is Charlie Sheen.
He's just doing Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole thing is just Charlie Sheen, right? Like Two and a Half Winning. Men. Yeah. Charlie Sheen. That movie, Charlie Sheen. He went to almost went to KU to play baseball.
Oh, yeah.
What was the movie he was in that was like a 80s like spoof movie? They make fun of like Top Gun. I can't remember the name of it. It's funny. Like, they show him, like, cutting the fence, whatever it is, and then he just walks in the other side of it.
Yeah.
Come on, text line.
Hot Shots?
That's it. Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah, 2.
Part 2.
That's right. Hot Shots, yes.
Hilarious.
Oh, man, that was in the Spaceballs era of movies, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Hot and the Naked Gun, like, all those parody spoof movies that they made back in the day. Yeah.
Nice beaver.
I will say The Odyssey might enter that for me. I'm going to go see it again in theaters. That's how good it is.
Second time?
I'm going to go see it again. I'm going to spend seven hours of my life.
That's fine.
Yeah, in the theater, watching the same movie.
You know,
it's that good.
You're familiar with Steven Serta?
Yeah.
He watched Avengers Endgame 4 times.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Wow.
Big movie guy, Steven Serta.
That's crazy to me.
Shout out.
That's crazy.
Smash or pass, Mac. Monday, Oreo is dropping banana pudding Oreos.
Yeah, smash. Anything banana pudding, I'm going to smash.
Smash.
Like that cheesecake those loyal listeners, the dad and son made for us that one time.
Good smash.
Big time smash.
Yep, Monday. So there you go. Smash or pass on number one acquisition the Royals should make next year are 2 bullpen arms.
I think you have to figure out a way to go out there and get your bullpen better. I mean, they have failed when it comes to the bullpen with this organization recently. And I was looking at like the numbers yesterday of the ERAs of where they kind of rank in Major League Baseball since, you know, this regime has taken over, and they're no better than 20th. And that was 2024 when it comes to bullpen ERA. This year, they're 29th. Last year, 24th. And in 2023, they were 28th. In bullpen ERA. And so that's got to get better. And the Royals right now spending a lot of money on their bullpen, comparatively speaking to other clubs out there that are doing good things and that are winning right now. You look at the Guardians, the Rays, Milwaukee, Detroit, they're all spending around $10 million, $15 million total on the bullpen. The Royals are up to the $20 million level on their bullpen, and they're not getting the return on investment in that. And so there seems to be a, I don't want to say wasted money on the bullpen, but when you're spending $11 million on your closer, and that's almost 10% of your payroll, and then he doesn't play that year, that's a lot of money, man. They're not getting the return on investment of the bullpen that they need to be getting on it. And I would think going into this offseason, I think you're going to have to find your bullpen arms a different way. And I would allocate the money that you would normally allocate to your bullpen for maybe better bats in your lineup, or, you know, a starting pitcher for that matter, because they've been putting a lot of money into the bullpen and it's just not working right now. And that's where they're losing all their games. I mean, you go back and you look at how many games have been blown in the late innings by this bullpen. They've done a really bad job of constructing a bullpen for this organization.
So, to play devil's advocate, last year you did have the major league leading leader in saves in Carlos Estevez. This year, obviously, in your brown notebook, Vern told us, I believe, on February 26th, I think it was the date, that the Estevez velocity was down, and there were a lot of, like, concerned eyes.
23rd.
23rd.
Yep.
And there was a lot of concerned eyes with that. Led the league in saves last year was Estevez. I don't know what happened to Lucas Irsig.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
I can't put that blame on J.J. Piccolo. I can't. He's now in AAA, got to get his mind right. But it seems like ever since that collision with Vinny at first a few years back, neither one of those guys has really been the same
since.
That's
a good point. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And, boys, I don't know where you're at now with Michael Garcia, but yesterday at the game, he rounds third. Right after he rounds third, everybody's like, oh, God, and pops up. You know, looked like a hamstring. But definitely going to go to the IL now, probably done for the year.
Oh, I would imagine.
I think there's like 34 games left. There's no need, you know, rest up. I think personally, for the first time since 2021, I'm fine with this lineup going forward. I think I'm going to give Michael Garcia a bounce back year. I know he had his big year last year, got his contract. Vinny looks like he's starting to kind of come around. I know all this is way too late. We're not out here to tell you they're only 8.5 games out of the playoffs. We're not, none of that. I'm just telling you, the issue this year was the bullpen, without a doubt. Irsig losing his touch. Estevez, you know, never there. One game, boom, never see him again. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit where I think in the offseason the conversation maybe had been made. Because if Vern's saying that on February 23rd, you got to figure out, okay, if it's not going to be him, we have to have somebody in our backup plans. Mm-hmm. Now, Daniel Lynch has been fine in the bullpen this year. That's a bullpen arm. I'll take that. I think one of the ways that you rehash that is you have a bullpen arm on your team right now. That's a tough pill to swallow to admit that maybe he's a bullpen arm moving forward, and that's Cole Reagans. Mm-hmm. I think with Cole Reagans not being able to come back next year, now again, you have to wait until July.
Yeah.
So you still need to address bullpen
if
in the offseason.
If there's even a season next year.
Correct. Yeah. And hopefully there is. But, you know, you can go back to, you know, the pre-JJ days, because the last time Dayton Moore was in this town was September 21st, 2022. And even those bullpens weren't great. I mean, we had Ian Kennedy as a closer.
Yeah.
In one of those years. Scott Barlow was there for 3 years. And then you look at MacArthur, Estevez, and then Irsig was this year for a little bit. Now it's kind of been, you know, Cruz, or it's been whoever. But there's no doubt in my mind, as of last year, we were talking about getting a right field bat. Who's going to be the stick in the lineup the last 2 years, right? And then now you're starting to find the fact that maybe you don't need that anymore. I think your top five next year, I'm fine with. But you've got to be able to have a bullpen. And I know we're never going to have HDH. No one's going to have that again. That's an anomaly of a bullpen. That was just one of those, like the big red, like the, what was it?
The big red machine.
Yeah. Didn't they have a crazy bullpen? Wasn't it them that had like the Mitch Williams and all those guys?
Oh, that was the Phillies Williams.
The Phillies had that big bullpen in the late 80s.
No, that's the mid 90s, early 90s with Mitch Williams. Yeah. He was the one that got lit up by Joe Carter.
Never was the same.
Never. Oh, God. Yeah. No, how could you be?
Wild thing.
Yeah.
Can you name the top five that you're good with? I'm just curious. I'm just in the names.
Yeah. So Jensen, Bobby. Cags.
Oh, okay. Overall top five players. Gotcha. Yeah. I didn't know like, what you were talking
about. In the lineup.
Heard. Yeah. Okay. Lineup. Gotcha.
Because I'm okay. Sorry. If you'll put the guys in the right spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would lead Jensen off.
Yep.
I would hit Bobby second. I'd hit Cags third. Yep. I'd go Garcia fourth. And then Vinny can hit fifth. And then Sal hit sixth.
Though on paper, that sounds really good.
Yeah, but we've seen the results, though, this year with that exact same lineup, and it hasn't been good, though. So that's my question, is like everybody looks now in August and
We've only seen that lineup twice.
Yeah, that lineup's been better.
That lineup put up 9 runs the first time that that was together.
We saw Vinny and
and that's what I'm saying. Like, we were seeing Vinny hit third and Sal hit fourth, and Cag was getting platooned. And you can go look at Cag's numbers in August. He has arrived. It is here. It is happening. We are going to have that more consistently. Bobby Witt Jr., since coming back from the DL on August 4th, 377 average, 53 at-bats, 20 hits, 9 RBI, 3 home run. Right, Bobby's going to be Bobby. And now what you have to do is, if you think that team can produce 3.5 runs a game on average, you'd hope more, you have to have somebody to patch it up in the end. And they just don't have that, because the Royals right now, what, are 54-76? Or 54-75, something like that?
Yeah, they're 19 games back.
If they have 9 games that their bullpen doesn't blow, you really are having a conversation about what the wild card might look like.
Yeah.
That's how bad this division, everything. It's like, to take a Josh Allen analogy, last year you had Bo Nix, Drake May, CJ Stroud. This year, two teams possibly could get into the playoffs with a sub 500 record, which means you didn't have to be great. You just had to get in and do enough. And your bullpen just didn't give you that
23 sort of blown saves.
Yeah. I mean, the blown saves are awful, and you can't have that next year. And that's why when you look at what they're investing in the bullpen, they have to pull that back and stop investing that big money. Because when you look at Tampa and when you look at Detroit and when you look at those peer groups that the Royals are, and, you know, they always talk about Tampa. They always talk about Cleveland being kind of their peer group. That's where they got a lot of their people in, you know, the organization right now that have come into this organization. They're from Tampa. They're from Cleveland. From those, you know, ways of doing business. And then you look at the way that those teams build their bullpen. I mean, Tampa and Cleveland right now have about $8 to $12 million invested in their bullpen. It's a top 10 bullpen, right? Milwaukee and Detroit have about $10 million to $15 million invested in their bullpen. It's their top 5 to 10 bullpens right now. The Royals are investing between $18 and $25 million in their bullpen, and they're a bottom five bullpen in Major League Baseball. So they're not investing the right way. They're investing in the wrong players. And then you look at, you know, the money that they spent over the years on free agents that didn't pan out, you know, the Hunter Renfros of the world, the mistakes that they made there with guys like that, the Garrett Hampsons, the Chris Strattons, the Will Smiths, all of those guys that they paid money to, that takes away from maybe going elsewhere and funneling that money towards maybe a better person in the bullpen. And so they've got a lot of work to do this offseason. Just because they're winning now doesn't give me any sort of hope for next season, because I don't think it matters. I don't think for any team it matters what you're doing in August and September and carrying that over. We've had these conversations year after year after year after year with the Royals, where they play well in August and September, and people are like, look what could have happened. Look what could have happened. And then we get to April and it's the same song and dance. And so this is all fool's gold that I'm watching right now from a win standpoint. They've got to do it at the beginning of the year or it doesn't matter. And they've got to figure out a way to not blow leads and not waste games where they have an opportunity to win.
Shout out to Jake Hunn. It was the Nasty Boys is what I was trying to think of.
Reds. We had Rob Dibble and those guys. The Nasty Boys. I remember them. Yeah.
Mac, go be nasty.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
That's right. One word on a Friday. Couldn't be a better timing for this. The Sand Trap, great local spot, delicious food, cold drinks, TVs everywhere to watch all your favorite sports teams, and you can watch the Golf Channel, because if you didn't watch yesterday, you should have. You can watch today, tomorrow, and Sunday. The Advent Health Championship is on, and it's in Kansas City at Blue Hills Country Club, which is also, coincidentally, right down the street from the Sand Trap. So if you enjoy a nice day on the golf course watching these guys rip it, drive on down to the Sand Trap, and you can get a Friday special that's the Trap Club Wrap.
The Trap Club Wrap!
Trap Club Wrap, baby. 14-inch tortilla with ham, turkey, bacon, shredded lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and diced tomatoes with your choice of ranch, Chipotle ranch, or mayo. I suggest you get the Chipotle ranch. It comes with fries or the house chips for $13, or you can get a $16 10-ounce steak, baked potato, green beans. Mm. Also offering $7 vodka Red Bulls and $2 off glasses of wine. All that the Sand Trap right down the road from Blue Hills Country Club during the Advent Health Championship on a Friday.
Is Dana playing?
I think she's hanging out with pigs.
Yep. Pigs and goats.
Yep. And zebras.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun Friday. Advent and then the Trap. Sign me up. How about this? Sign me up for this. Texas Tech just unveiled this new Patrick Mahomes. Let's ride. Uniforms. It's all black. Got red accents. It's got Mahomes' signature there in a Gladiator logo, which is what they call his signature. One word.
Jumpman. It's the new Jumpman. It's the new Jordan. It's the new, that's the brand the kids are going to want. They're going to want to go to a Mahomes school, right? Just like kids want to go to that Jordan school. And I hope Patrick Mahomes keeps his brand much like the Jordan brand, where it's selective. It's few and far between. What are the Jordan schools? North Carolina, Michigan? Anything else? There may be one more in that mix, but you kind of know those schools off the top of your head, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I would love to see this Patrick Mahomes logo go, where, you know, a generation
Oklahoma,
from now.
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah,
UCLA,
that's right. Oklahoma.
Florida. Yeah, there's a few.
A few, but not many.
No.
You know, there's a difference between the Jordan brand and the Nike brand, right? And so that's where I want to see with Patrick Mahomes, difference between the Mahomes brand and the Adidas brand. And I think that's kind of what they're going for. I think it's cool. I love it.
Yeah, sweet. I don't know. Speaking of Jordan brand, use that to pay their coach in Oklahoma. Looks like they're keeping him for quite a while.
Yep.
That dude got paid.
Six-year extension.
I really want to. They like him.
I guess. I mean.
For now.
You're in the SEC. You got to start winning national championships at Oklahoma.
Yeah, make the playoffs. Be relevant every year. Missouri has dropped their new uniforms. New old Memorial Stadium 100th anniversary uniforms. One word.
Stunning. And that's from a KU fan. I thought those uniforms and that.
Yeah, these are
those
sick.
Pictures were great. I love the old new look of their old school 100th anniversary uniforms. I was really stunned by those. I thought they did a great job with those. And again, if a Jayhawk can say that about the Missouri uniforms, they must be really good.
Yeah. Sharp. Now go win. Go make a statement this year, Mizzou. Eli could really use that. Not saying that the seat's hot. I'm not going that way. But yeah, new look, new stadium, new vibes. Who knows? New results.
Yeah, Austin Simmons, the Ole Miss transfer. Let's go. The lefty.
And they still got that massive dude in the backfield, Ahmad Hardy.
Yes. If Austin Simmons, like we heard Dave Pollock say, if he could throw the football, that's what Missouri's been missing. They got to have an aerial attack. Let's see if they can do it this
year. They have an NFL quarterback right now. They have Brady Cook.
NFL fined the Cowboys and Saints $500,000 each for what it called, quote, the actions that took place at the joint practices between teams earlier this week. I don't know if you saw those.
Oh, how could you not see it?
A slew of fights between those two teams in the joint practice. One word.
Ah, fun. I mean, that's what's going to happen. You're you know, asking athletes who hit for a living to go hit somebody else in a different colored uniform. That's what's going to happen. I don't know if you saw the brawl yesterday at the Giants-Dolphins camp. Did you see
that
one?
Right?
I mean, it was on the far side of the field, but it was both teams. I mean, it was just a mess of people.
Yeah.
Just beating each other up yesterday.
Summer. I mean, heat. Ready. Football. Now. Please.
Yes.
Please.
Just saw this from the Chiefs 5 minutes ago. Happy birthday to Super Bowl champion and Hall of Famer Willie Lanier.
Hey, Willie Lanier. Happy
HBD.
Birthday.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, him and my dad. I bet you they're the same age. Willie may be older than my dad. I mean, 77 years old is my dad today. So
81.
81, Willie Lanier, man.
81. Yeah. Let's go, Willie.
All right. Happy birthday, Willie. One of the best of all time. One of the great human beings of all time. Yeah. One of the greatest football players of all time. Hell yeah, Willie Lanier. Happy birthday.
Better linebacking core, Bobby Bell, Willie Lanier today, or what the Chiefs have today?
Oh, them playing today. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, them today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where my concern lies. You're worried about the deal. I don't even know the linebackers' names on this team.
Every time Bobby Bell sacks the opposing quarterback, just leaves a piece of chapstick on his chest.
Did you know Emmanuel Ogbah was still in the league?
Yeah.
No.
I just found that out 2 weeks ago.
We signed him yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. But you didn't know before that
he was
still
playing. Well, he wasn't in the league at that point.
Well, then let's just go get Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, exactly. Las Vegas Raiders are eyeing improvement to Allegiant Stadium. They're trying to make a $158 million improvement to the stadium's north entry, trying to create like a front door to the stadium, a pedestrian deck, public plaza, an event deck, plus some other transportation improvements. They're seeking $75 million from the LVSA. One word.
Early. They just built that stadium.
Yeah, how old is that stadium?
Yeah, it's got to be 5 or 6 years
old
now. I think it opened during the COVID year, if I'm not mistaken, but... You know, I always have this story in my mind when it comes to these stadiums, because years ago for our baseball trip, I want to say it was the 2018 trip, 2017 maybe, we went to Dallas and we were at the old Arlington Stadium and we were getting a tour from a friend of mine that works for the Rangers. And they're like, yeah, we're getting ready to build this new stadium. I go, this has only been here 20 years. And they go, yeah, it's time for a new stadium. And so you start to see this, like the Mets thing yesterday. Dusty and I were watching this raccoon.
You see that, Mac?
Citi Field, put its paw up through the
hole in the
stadium.
Where
basically.
Your feet sit and like the peanut shells fall. This little varmint claw reaches up.
Yeah.
And then they started feeding it.
And Dusty's Dusty's like, they just built that stadium. Like, I think it's a little bit older than 15 or 16 years old.
2009 is when it opened.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these stadiums are older than we think. But that one out there, I mean, that's a little ridiculous right now. If you want those improvements and you're the Raiders, make them yourself.
Yeah, sorry.
That should not require public money. They just built that stadium. They're building another new one. A new arena's going up there. And nobody's going to Las Vegas anymore. So you want $75 million from the City Visitors Bureau. I mean, I hate to say it to you, Raiders. You just built that stadium. Build that yourself if you need a party deck or a new front door.
The Buffalo Bills are going to be like,
what do you think they're going to do? I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes.
Hey, we really effed up your views of the stadium. Can you guys pay us some money to get these taken care of? No, we'll just kick them down.
Yeah, but that's the thing. These people now want everybody to pay for their stadium. I think that's going to come to a screeching halt, seriously, with this Dodger thing. Who knows what's going to be unearthed? What if all of a sudden, because of this Dodger thing, everybody has to open their books in Major League Baseball or in sports in general?
Would love it.
I mean, I would too. I mean, but tell me about this one. Yesterday, this company, private equity invest into the Atlanta Falcons. Yesterday, by 10% of the Atlanta Falcons, they now own 10% of four different NFL teams.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Yep.
How is that?
Isn't that a monopoly almost?
I don't know what the right answer is on that one. But this is a league where competition is supposed to be the highlight of the league. And if you have the same ownership group involved in four of these teams, I don't like the way this is going, folks. Mm-hmm. I think this is a bad deal to allow these private equities to buy in to these NFL teams. If you want to buy into one, okay, I can understand that. But once you buy into one, you buy into one. This group has now bought into four different NFL teams. I don't like where this is going in sports.
That is one word brought to you by the Sand Trap. It's a great spot. Delicious food, cold drinks, TVs everywhere to watch your favorite sports teams. Golf. Baseball, preseason football, it's all there at the Sand Trap. It is located in the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC. And on a Friday, they've got the Trap Club Wrap, 14-inch tortilla with ham, turkey, bacon, shredded lettuce, cheddar, jack cheese, and diced tomatoes with your choice of ranch, chipotle ranch, or mayonnaise. Comes with fries or house chips for just 13 bones.
Smash.
Also, for $16, you can get a 10-ounce steak, baked potato, green beans, a $7 vodka Red Bull, or a $2 glass off of wine. That didn't make sense, but $2 off glasses of wine. And if you are at the Advent Health Championship, which you should be, it's a great event over there at Blue Hills Country Club, drive on down to the Sand Trap, located on the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC, just right down the street. Coming up next, Jimmy Johnson. Well, you talk about wanting to see the books. Here they are. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.